Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining Rootzone LGR study group call on 11th of June 2018. We have Dennis, Edmund, Gaurav, Mirjana, and Sarmad on the call. Over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad, and welcome everyone. Sarmad, can you give me... Okay. I have permissions to share my screen, so I'll do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see how this is done. Where's applications? This works. Okay, I
we can share. We can.
You see the Google Docs document?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is where. Okay, just let me arrange my screen so I can see the chat window. And
you may want to zoom in a bit because it's currently very small view.
All right. So I'm 100%, zooming in 150. How about now?
Good, thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's resume. I want to start with, I got a response in the last few days from Desalin in this question, letter E, should utility and CCT application processes use Rootzone LGR equally? And so I wanted him to expand a little bit as the his argument for no, as he didn't provide much clarity before. So let me find his comment here. Right, okay. No. Right here. Oh, okay. I hope you can see because this is in the comment box, the one I'm mousing over. Can you see that? If not, perhaps it's easier for you to open the document and scroll down and look for this comment. Please signal me that you can read the comment using the chat window with the agree or not button or the chat. Please let me know that you can see this because we want to discuss this comment and try to close this this item. Yes, Edmund, I think we have. So, hold a second. There you go, Edmund, that's the link. So, if you open the document, I want you to focus on the comments on the question on letter E. It's a series of comments by Desalin and myself, and want you to focus on the last comment sent by Desalin on today, 5:42 a.m. Okay, so I'm going to assume everyone, each one of you has access to this document. So, okay, so to do a recap. So the question is, should ETLDs and CCTLDs application processes use the Rootzone LGR equally? And by use, again, let's repeat what use mean. It's to validate the code points within a apply for string, calculate the variance, and apply the whole label evaluation rules. So very straightforward input-output process. The question is, should we use this process equally in both GTLDs and CTLDs? Most of the arguments are on the yes side, as we discussed last week, but Desalin had a different point of view, so we wanted him to expand a little bit as to why he thinks this should be the case. And he started with pointing out that on a very specific issue of, or use case, not issue, but a use case of territory and geo names. And again, this was not clear enough, so I asked him to expand a little bit, and he did today. So I'm not going to read through his comment, but I think I get the gist of it, and please correct me if I'm wrong. But looks like his points are valid, but not for this study group to reflect on or to include in these recommendations or analysis, because it goes outside the use of the roots on LDR, and he's talking more about the intention of the apply for a string. How is that going to be used? And that's more on the policy side rather than on a very specific whether the apply for a string is valid or not valid for roots on use. Does anybody agree, disagree, or has a different color to this summary of his position? Edmund, please. You have. I'm sorry. Yeah, I see Sarmat and Edmund, but not sure who's first. So I'm just. Edmund, please.
Edmund, please go ahead. Yep.
Sure. I think Dennis, your characterizations. I agree with that. I don't know whether we should. If we come up with a final report, should we include this in a more generic description that says there are many things that affect, of course, the both GTLDs and CCTLDs creation. But I agree with how you characterize it. This what was described. I guess fall outside of the use of the zone LGR itself. There are other elements involved in what has been described.
Thank you, Edmund. Sarma, please.
Right, so thank you. So generally, I think I've already shared an opinion on this before, that this is something which will happen downstream. And so it's part of policy and not really the technical part of roots on LGR determination. However, I guess I wanted to add one more point to that. In another point, and this is, I guess, specific to CTLDs. We've actually been discussing on whether all the allocatable IDN TLDs should be allocated. And some of this discussion, I think, hints or points towards that discussion, not part of this point, but part of that particular point, where I guess we could look at the usability argument to see from an IDN CCTLD perspective that if we are generating allocatable variants which are not, for example, official names of the countries, then how do we, do we still consider them as allocatable variants, or could that actually be, for example, used as a reason for not keeping them allocatable anymore? Obviously, that is a policy decision, but that actually also has a usability kind of angle. So that's something we could potentially discuss in that part of the scope. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. I think it's a very interesting use case that you shared with us. So I think it goes along the line of Desalin's position, I think. I mean, it's tough to put a hard line there, but I think we can use that, yes, as a recommendation or suggestion as a part of the final work product of this study group. So I'm going to have to release the recording, and then let's find out how we can capture these, memorialize it in the document, and move forward. Any other reactions, observations, comments to build on top of this section? Okay, hearing none, let's move on. So I wanted to close that out. I think it's not closed yet, but at least I think we have a good understanding of Desalin's position, so we can capture that, we can capture the conversation and drafting some kind of response here. So it's going to look like more of a yes, but perhaps we will have to take into account these usability use cases, as Sarma pointed out, and carve out certain topics that the next working group that's going to work on this work product can take into account. Okay, so that's out of the way for now. Let's see where we think we look at this here. Okay, so last week we went into the Valiant section. I think was my action item to expand this into a matrix, and I apologize that I couldn't do this by today, so I'm going to commit to do it this week so you can look at this for the next session. But without moving on, do you have any other comments, feedback on comments on variants that you may have thought about in the last week or so? No? Okay. No hands up? Okay, let's keep moving. So moving on to the next section, the appeal process. And this has to deal with parties not agreeing with the results of the Ruchang LDR. And I believe ESAC provided some recommendations. So what I want to do is to go through those and inform ourselves so that we can either take those as a baseline and then draft our own process or do something completely different. Let me see if I can find. Please bear with me until I find this section here. Apologize, I'm having trouble finding the exact section of it. I don't think this is Hey, Sarmat. I need a little bit of assistance. I think it was an extract document that talked about recommendations of as far as procedures to deal with disagreement with the LGR. And I thought it was SEC 060, but I think it looks like it is not. Oh, yeah. Recommendation number 2, item of maintenance secure. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Recommendation 2. There you go. Okay. Let me just. And for those that want to follow this on your screen, let me help you with the link there. Can you still hear me? I got a funny notification from Adobe. Okay. Can you hear me? I think we lost Sarma, but I don't know if...
Yes, Dennis, I can hear you. Oh. This is Gaurav.
Okay. Gaurav, thank you, Gaurav. Okay, so I guess everybody else can hear me as well. We just, oh no, Sarmat's there. Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, so I trust you have either through the share screen or your own screen recommendation number 2 from ESAC 60, where the ESAC discusses having a secure, stable, and objective process to resolve cases where some members of the community do not agree with the results of the LGR. I'll give you a minute to scroll through this text, and let's discuss whether this is a good place to start our discussion, or do you have a different opinion that we should note and start working on pros and cons of each of these solutions. Okay. I trust that you read it and you understand the concept of this proposed strongman process suggested by the ESAC. So let's go back to our document and try to start fleshing out these appeal process that we need to envision. So any reactions to the ESAC appeal process or process? And let me go back to the ESAC screen here. So step one says that if an applicant or a community disagrees with the LGR calculation, they can appeal to ICANN to reconvene the relevant generation plan to update the LGR. Such an appeal should not focus on the given stream, but rather on the LGR as a whole or a script or a set of scripts. And then, of course, there'll be subsequent steps in order to process the change requests or whatever mechanism they need to do in order to update the LGR if the claim has grounds. The first issue or concern that I have with such a process is the timing. Let's, for example, say it's an TLD applicant that is does not agree with the LGR. Of course, this type of process will take time. I mean, I think most of you are involved with a generation panel, and you know that once it's not easy to reconvene a generation panel once the group is done with their first proposal, right? Everybody goes to their own thing, and reconvene a generation panel would be a very not impossible task, but it's going to be difficult and time-consuming for everybody to reconvene. So from a practical standpoint, that will be very, very hard to implement. That's my take from a very practical standpoint of view. What do you others think about that? Do you have any observation comments? Edmund, please.
Thank you, Dennis. Edmund speaking here. I think this is a fine starting point. In fact, I think this. I don't know how much further we can add to this. Besides, however, I want to point out one area that is not addressed here, which is the formation of the generation panel and integration panels themselves. We run into a particular issue when if this is something that has been discussed, for example, if something that has been actually discussed to death in the generation and panel and the integration panel before, somebody comes in with an application, it triggers the process again, I guess, over and over again. That seems to me there needs to be some way to say, hey, this is it. Can't keep trying to beat a dead horse. Although things do change, so I'm not sure how to do this. This is one particular part. But the other particular part is there is no particular way to appeal or change the integration panel decision in any form at this point. That is, I don't know whether this is the right group to talk about it, but at least that is not something that is included in the current model.
Thank you, Edmund. Any other observations, comments? Sarma, please.
Thank you, Dennis. Couple of points. First of all, I think though it is certainly hard to reconvene a generation panel, the procedure, though it does require that the generation panel members are representative of the script, the way the script is used, I think the requirement may be reasonably narrower when the generation panel is reconvened, where you know it is focused on not mapping the script entirely again, but on a reasonably small subset of the problem. So what that entails is that perhaps the generation panel actually could be smaller in its constitution membership, and also that it may actually take lesser time to address the problem. Just a couple of points to note. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. So, if I understood the rationale, right, you're saying, right, it. So generation panels are for focus on the script, but a specific apply for string maybe it's used in certain language, so that will provide a narrower scope for the generation panel to be to look at this string. And therefore easier for the generation panel to reconvene and do their work. Is that kind of the angle that you were proposing?
Or? Right. So yeah. Slightly different than that. I guess what I'm saying is that the next time a generation panel is reconvened, it's actually focusing on a delta. It's not really focusing on the entire base. So the scope of the generation panel is limited, even though you know it may not be focused entirely on that particular string, but it still would have a narrower focus.
Understood. Makes sense. Thank you. Yeah. So it's about the delta, not language specific or so on and so forth, but it's the delta. Thank you. So what I'm going to do, I think we got a sense that we agreed to take this recommendation, the ESSAC recommendation, as a baseline and start fleshing out, putting more layers into it and towards a recommendation from this study group. So what I'm going to do, I'm not sure I'm going to be successful, but I'm going to copy-paste this section to our handy-dandy Google Docs draft and see if we can start doing this. Okay, I think, yep, good. This is actually point number 2. All right. And we do have certain comments going for Sarma, so I need to process those as well. I'm going to leave those there. And let me change focus to the chat window. There is some action here. Let me go through those. Yeah, good points, Edmund. I will need to capture the conversation there so that I include it in the document. Okay, So with that, and we skip letter A in purpose, so I want to now go back to letter A and focus on that one. And let's discuss who this, to whom this appeal process is available to. Is it just till the applicants, everyone in the community, and if there should be any deference to a special community members, like to the applicants, especially during a TLD application process. Do you have any thoughts around those? Okay, so let me start typing this here. Who are these members of the community? Still the applicants? I think these two big groups, users in general. I think at some point we talk about ICANN.org also as a type of user for their processes. Any other
so thoughts? I think there is one more user, which is the generation panel itself. And for number two users, it could be actually community members, or it actually could be trademark holders, right? Those are the people. I guess I'm looking at it from a process perspective. So I'm looking at who are, you know, category two is the kind of people who can raise an objection, for example.
Correct. Now, each one of these users may have different use cases, and each one of these appeal processes may have a different urgency, to put it that way, right? TLD applicants in the middle of a TLD application process may have the urgency to have their case processed as quickly as possible so that they can really go through the application process, whereas trademark holders, for instance, just maybe issuing a claim or a dispute over a certain label that the Rusong LDR is computing. I don't know, ICANN or other, what type of processes, I think I'm gonna put you on the spot, Sarmat. ICANN may, would use the Rusong LDR for. I mean, I can think of, PDT, for example, but maybe the, reviewing application, TLD applications as well, any other processes that ICANN or may use this tool for?
Right, so it's mostly going to be for determining the valid TLDs and their variant set. And this will obviously be used by ICANN.org as well as INI, I guess at some point those two will need to coordinate this use. So this is largely for you know, application process. As far as, and we also discussed that this is also within application process for reserved TLD labels.
All right, good stuff. Edmund, you have, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think that
Just responding to your comment earlier about kind of quote unquote the urgency of such a reconvening of the generation panel. I guess it is some kind of impact analysis should be done. If it impacts any existing TLD or TLD string in application, then probably the urgency is higher. So I think it's not just if something is in application, but if it impacts existing ones, I think they're equally or potentially even more urgent.
Thank you, Edmund.
This is Ahmad. I'd like to come in.
Yes, Ahmad, please go ahead.
So, following up on what Edmund just said, I think what we may actually want to perhaps go into is look into what are perhaps technically technical requirements for such a claim. Or appeal. Obviously, there's a process part of it, which is probably a policy thing, but are there any technical aspects of it? And I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is that, for example, should the claim meet some technical criteria before it can actually be evaluated further for process.
A good point. Edmund,
so just to give you,
sorry, Sama, go ahead, just continue and then Edmund.
Yes. Right. I was just going to give you an example. So, for example, one criteria could be that there is a Unicode code point which is included in a later version of Unicode than the one which was with GP had analyzed, and that's, for example, a legitimate reason to invoke this particular kind of recalculation. Something which is already considered by a generation panel and has been excluded, for example, a code point, maybe that's not as strong an argument in support. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharma. Yeah, I think this is going in the right direction. Thank you for that. I think listing a required criteria in order to open a dispute process might be something that we need to highly consider. And this would be one of the criteria, right? It's a new new Unicode version includes a new code points, and those code points are claimed by the community or the generation panel themselves. They want to include those in the next version of the MSR and so on and so forth, so that would be a valid claim. Okay, Edmund, please, you're next.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, just responding to Susamat's earlier question about the, I guess, the technical threshold. I'm not sure. I think it'd be hard to come up with all the possible, you know, try to come up with a very generic description of what constitutes a trigger. Maybe we haven't thought it through enough yet, but just off the bat, I think it might be very difficult to include all the possible scenarios. But one technical requirement that might be useful is whoever wants to appeal this would need to, submit an updated LGR or at least a part of the LGR that contains a particular script or language, and such LGR itself should be, you know, obviously different from the existing one, and also different from any
Edmund, we lost you just 10 seconds ago. Edmund? Yeah, I think we lost Edmund, so we'll wait for Keith to come back, but basically, Edmund, looks like you are speaking, but because I see your mic in action, but we cannot hear you. Maybe you want to try to reconnect. We can't still hear you. While Elmon is typing his thoughts, anyone else has a additional comment? Sarmat, is that a new hand or old hand?
Yes, it's a new hand. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Right. So I was actually going to follow up on what Edmund had started saying, and I would agree with what Edmund is saying. That we can certainly not anticipate all the cases. So I think I was going to suggest that that list we are developing for technical cases, maybe we acknowledge that it's not a complete list, but we say that at least these ones are legitimate to trigger the review, and there may actually be additional ones, but at least the technical reasons we know, at least we could list them very clearly so that community can at least use that part of that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Edmund, is that a new hand?
Yes, a new hand, and hopefully my voice comes through okay.
Yep, you are back.
I guess in response to myself, I think I'm not totally convinced that it is technically prohibitive for somebody trying to launch an appeal. If we can't even have something, if a group tries to launch it without even understanding how AGR works, I mean, that to me seems like a little bit of a, you know, go back and do your homework and come again. But I guess I'm willing to be convinced otherwise. I'd like to hear what other people say. I think we should set the bar high enough and low enough at the same time. I mean, low enough as in different cases might be worthy of consideration, but high enough such that somebody who really understands what the Resilient OGR does before they trigger a reconvening of the generation panel and also, you know, consideration at the integration panel, which is quite a bit of an effort, and I guess the current effort is, from what I see, is pretty thorough, and I think whoever wants to come in and challenge it there should be a pretty, you know, a reasonable bar. And just asking them to come up with an alternative LGR, just pertaining that particular language part, to me that doesn't feel like it's that high of a bar, actually.
Thank you, Edmund. Anyone else want to build on top of that? Okay, hearing none. I would like to stop here. I have a hard stop in 5 minutes, so I don't want to start a new discussion without getting the chance to complete it. So I'm going to incorporate this week's discussion into the document, and I will ask for you to review and provide more comments into it. And I think we are in a place where we can start now looking at the individual questions and content that we have built throughout these weeks, and start focusing narrowly into each one of these and start drafting some recommendations. So I think that's going to be the focus starting next week. So again, let me incorporate all the discussions, comments into the document, and we're going to start from the very top. So that's section one, use of roots on LDR, and focus on question A only, and start looking at it in a very focused standpoint, and start drafting recommendations onto that. So that will be the focus for next week. Okay. For that, I think things that you can read on is ESAC 060, 89, and the LGR procedure as well. Those are good reading materials for us to start looking at these and writing recommendations. So with that, any other questions?
This is Armand. Just one administrative point. I may actually be traveling next week, and I will check with Pitinan if she can host the call, and I'll confirm within a day or two. Because she may also be traveling. In case both of us are unavailable, I'll let you know. Otherwise, we'll plan a call for next week.
Sorry, I was speaking on mute. I don't know what I missed, but let me say, so Sarma, you're saying week of next week, June 18th, you'll confirm whether you or PTNAM will be hosting, and then on the following week,
So I'll certainly not be there. I'm traveling. I'll confirm with Pitinan and let you know in case we are not hosting. I'll confirm either way within a day.
All right. Thank you. And the following week, the Monday, June 25th, I can clearly say we won't have a meeting because it's the ICANN 62 week. So it's going to be hard for some of us to join the call. I think certainly I would not be able to host it. So I think it's safe to say right now that on the June 25th, Monday, this meeting won't happen. And then we'll resume on July 2nd. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a nice rest of Monday and rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.